Yeah, shut up. Hey, you want to go wait outside overnight again? Then shut the fuck up. Then shut the fuck up.
That's right. We are back. This is the second hour of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And get this thing rolling here if I can keep this mic from going unmuted. Okay. Yeah, Frank, you still there? I want to give you about another 5 minutes.
I'm here. Well, a couple of things I wanted to say. I hope I can get them both in. His name is Andrew Hacker. He's a professor at Queens College in New York. And every year what he does is this. I'm not even sure if he's still teaching. But he said that every year what he did was he would take the freshman class and pose two questions to them. One question is, would you rather be robbed of $10,000 by a white man or $1,000 by a black man?
Yes, I know this. Yes, I've heard of this.
Okay, so you know what the outcome was.
Yeah.
So the madness is they would rather have the black man take their money than the white man take their money. Now, how in the world do we get perception that type of return? And we cannot, as normal persons, we can't do it.
I do think you mean to say that they mostly said they would rather be robbed by the white man.
The reason for that.
I want people to understand what there's racism and there's quiet racism. There's built in subliminal racism. Okay, just like when you cross the street, when you see a big buff black man coming at you on the side of the road, just like something that happens to me here in Poland, I think is super racist, but these people don't actually realize that they're doing it. For example, I'll be standing in line for something. I could be at a cash register or something, buying an airplane ticket. The line will slowly count down till I get up to the register. And then suddenly people come out of nowhere wanting to cut in front of me just to ask a general question. My time isn't worth anything. It would be rude for them to cut in front of a white person to ask a quick question. But my time isn't worth anything. So it's subliminal racism. And you don't even know that you're doing it.
Well, I
honestly don't think most of them know that they're doing it. A lot of times, the ones that I do know, that they do know that they're doing it, some will blatantly find some reason to cut in front of me in line, even though there's still a bunch of other people in line. They'll find a reason, or they'll just kind of meander, pretend like they're shopping, and they'll slowly kind of get until they can think and merge in and thinking I'm not paying attention. Those people know that they're doing it. But to my point, society, the way it is, the classism, they don't want to see a black man get ahead. Okay, this white person sends 10,000 from me. Well, at least he's white. I'm sure he has a reason for doing it. He's upper class. Oh, wait a minute. This black person is going to get ahead of me by $1,000? No, we can't have that. Oh, no, we can't have that.
Well, you know what's really tragic and bizarre and wacky is that because Newark, Europe lost its way and were in its quote unquote dark ages. I hate that term, dark ages. And during the Renaissance, they lost all the maritime skills. They had lost societal skills, and it was the African people that we call the Moors that got them mm-hmm. back on that track again.
Yep.
And that is what's so bizarre about this whole situation. But again, if you have some a magician behind the wall, convinces you that you are lost, and they found you, you're going to have those type of situations. Now,
history, right.
Now, a perfect example is I came across this a pamphlet about the Rock of Gibraltar, and they were using it as a tourist attraction, and right. Nowhere did they mention that the Rock of Gibraltar is a corruption of Tariq Gibraltar, of the general who conquered Spain. And I'm not bragging, because I think this culture should have their own decisions making properties. But this was a man who the women in Spain were throwing their garments up to him, saying, when he went into Spain conquering the Moors, as conquerors of the Moors, I should say.
Well, and you know what? I brought that point up with the white supremacist on Gab, because they were talking about how civilized they are and how uncivilized the black man is. It's like, you know what? The Moors went to Europe not once, but twice and conquered it.
Yes, that's
right. And we left once we thought you guys were straight.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. we literally brought civilization to Europe. And they're like, that's fake history. But you can't combat that, because real history is not taught in schools anymore. In America, history class is all about European history. And it goes all the way back until the point to where, yeah, the Black Moors conquered Europe. They don't talk about that. It's never mentioned in any history class in America. They only go back so far. But yeah. That's to show the dominant race and how important they are. And it's
Yeah. Whoever wins, that's what that will reflect what the history shows.
Exactly. Hey, my friend, I've got a ton of calls here. I'm going to be here all week. So can you call in tomorrow? We can talk about this some more.
Will do.
Thank you very much. And yes, Ali, my friend, are you still there? You dropped last night. Ali from Toronto, line 9.
How are you, man?
Hey, how's it going, God? How you feeling?
Yes.
How you doing?
Sorry, I was trying to get a hold of you yesterday, but I don't know what happened. But I was gonna tell you to play this one track because it was a Halloween thing, right? And I was happy that you came back on, and I was like, oh, that's amazing. So I thought, let me quickly get a hold of you, because I always pray that you get better, and I know you were going through some stuff. So, and the track was called Grave Diggers, Diary of a Madman. I thought it would have been appropriate.
I love that track.
Yeah, because Halloween is like the devil's name, right? So, yeah. I mean, the thing I was going to touch on was about, I want to ask about was the, what your opinion would be about the Kanye West, but then this previous caller mentioned it, so I was like, okay, wow, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. But I was going to tell you that, isn't it also true that he's brought up a good point, along with his friend Candace Owens, that about the Hebrews, because they are the Israelites that, and it's against the agenda of this, you know, Rupert Murdoch's and all these people controlling everything. And I was listening to the show earlier today, and this one gentleman brought up something against the other speaker, saying that, oh, this is run by the Jews, this network. You should run the, run my, let me be a speaker on your show, and I'll expose everything. And then they wanted to confront him, but he jumped ship and abandoned the call, right? So I was like, wow.
I love those guys that claim that we are run by this and that, and then
yeah.
Can't come up with anything. Yeah. Well, as far as West is concerned, Mr. West, yay, as he wants to be called now.
Weird, yeah.
I think he's too much on that yay, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah, I think so too.
The problem is, I mean, you can say whatever the hell you want, but you can't claim to be a multi-billionaire when you're not a multi-billionaire. See, when you're not a true billionaire just because your network says that you're a billionaire. You have so much tied. He lost $2 billion. He has so much of his work tied into other things, other contracts with this people, that people. And this money has not been paid in yet. So he lost $2 billion worth of contracts and work and everything else. Now he's just back to being a multimillionaire. So, I, you know, more power to him if he wants to go off deep end and do and say what he wants to say. But you can't do that when the same people you're attacking actually have most of your money.
No, you're right. But what I was gonna say to
you, that was stupid. Yeah,
I was. But what I was going to say to you as well, when you were just previously speaking and you were talking about the white privilege. And so I know this one person, and that's a joke, and I always say that, oh, well, at least you got the WP. WP is like the slang I use with some people just for a joke. It's like white privilege, right? And I go, oh, well, at least you got the WP. And he goes, well, come on, bro. Like, do you think there's anything wrong with that? And I thought, I didn't say anything, but in my head I'm like, wow. This is how you guys really feel.
That's how they really feel. Why should I be a class above you? Why should
I? Yeah, why should there be anything wrong with that? And I'm just thinking in my head. And then when you were previously talking and you're like, yo, this is not going to last because the children now are now being raised with this alternate agenda of these woke aristocrats that are just corrupting the children's brains with all this, oh, bring the Chinese. Look, I'm not hating people, but bring the Chinese in, let's dance. And then, like, why? They're kids. They want to play. They don't want to play with you. So it's like basically now when they're coming in and bringing this agenda about, I agreed with you that, you know what, it's now coming to the end of that. And now their privilege, it's gone. It's going
white away. Privilege is like American Express now. Yeah, no. Not accepted everywhere. Well, yeah, the thing is about the yeah, they can't leave home without it. Well, the thing is, when it comes to, there has to be a conscious shift, okay? Because we are supposedly becoming overpopulated. There has to be a conscious shift. And I get into arguments with a lot of conservatives, I'll just say, about homosexuality. I tell them that homosexuality is natural. No, God, it says this is perversion. Okay, that's fine. When God said be fruitful and multiply, that meant, you know, spread not only his people, but his word around the globe. Now, once that's been completed, you stop. Homosexuality is a natural thing that comes about within a population of mammals when resources become too short. Elephants, horses, all types of mammals will turn with same-sex partners when there's not enough food, not enough resources, not enough space. It's natural. When you put, when you have a petri dish and it's got the little, you know, little sugar lump on there, and you put the bacteria in there, it's going to grow, it's going to grow, it's going to grow. It's going to eat, it's going to eat, it's going to eat until resources, that little sugar is almost gone. It knows to stop growing. It knows to stop reproducing. However, we don't have that trigger in place right now, except for homosexuality. And so the social change here also, to help bring about equality to everybody, a new class of downtrodden people have to be brought into the arena. So let's get, okay, that bumps us up a level just so they can get in. We're going to become closer to being equal with everybody. If a nine-year-old tranny doesn't have his or her rights, and we do, you know, that's going to be an issue. I'm sorry, if they do and we don't, that's going to be a major issue. So it's to level us all up. And like I said, that's the one thing Democrats are doing correctly, is they're trying to make everybody equal. But at the same time, when we're all equal, none of us are going to have any power. And that's what the conservatives at heart are should be concerned about.
Okay, two quick things, because I know you have so much people, everyone loves you so much, but two quick questions to you is, one, not to bring it on this subject, but is about now all the people that have been vaccinated. I think we spoke about it before. It was about to bring about their agenda so that they can have control over the people. And the people who got it were the people who they know they control. And then the people who didn't get it are the ones that are the resistance. And the second point that I want to ask you quickly, before I let you go, because I know there's probably a ton of people wanting to talk to you, the point you just said, that do you think that it's appropriate that these children that are like 5, 6, 7 years old in the school, that they should be, these subjects should be being raised to them at this age? Don't you agree, or do you feel that these types of subjects should be appropriated at a way later age in life, like maybe when they're in high school or maybe later in their years of development?
Okay, well, I'm going to go all the way left here, but for a reason. I would rather the homosexuality, I would rather the non-reproducing sex change happen rather than the government continuing to poison the air, to poison the food, to work us to death, to put war and disease on us, to lower the population. That's the painful, hard way to go out. And it's no longer a secret as to what they're doing. So to me, I would rather live a full, long life as a trans person, I don't know what you call them, as one of those people, than to, you know, die in the next 5 years because I have cancer, because I'm being beamed with something and my food is poisoned.
Because you got vaccinated?
Vaccinated. Yeah.
Because the other point to you would be is that, but do you feel that it's appropriate that someone is this young? Because when we look at the statistics...
I don't think so,
no.
But then again, it's not for us to say... for a child to learn the lifestyles of the parent. Now, if you're a parent and you're straight and you have reproduced, you've had children, but you want to turn them gay, I have an issue with that. But if you're gay and you adopt, and the children have to learn your lifestyle as a parent, so that might be appropriate.
Yeah, but I'm just referring to the fact about these, let's call them Chinese or whatever, because you remember what they tried to do to Brother Dave, right? Dave Chappelle. And like this percentage of population that you're referring to, it's like a 0.001, like 0.0001% of the humans. And mm-hmm. now they're making the agenda so strong for them. When they tried to wipe out Dave Chappelle's career, when he actually helped one of their people who ended up committing suicide because of, from what I heard, he was explaining, and committed suicide because that person was getting attacked by that same community. It was such a minute population that of the planet Earth that it doesn't really make sense that we create a
You're going to find bullies everywhere. You're going to find bullies within every community, and they're going to push their agenda till they get their way, and people are going to be hurt. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been told to kill myself by these white supremacists on Gab. I couldn't tell you. So there's going to be bullies everywhere.
But that's why I told you, like, when I asked them the question, this person I know, who I respect, actually, but, and he said, come on, bro. How can you blame me for that?
Right.
So that's the attitude we're dealing with. And this is the big issue and problem that when this other speaker was just talking to you about that question about, what would you rather want in your freshman year of the university and the college, question being asked by the professor, would you rather be robbed by a white man of $10,000 or would you rather, I'd never even heard this question until just now, or would you rather be robbed for $1,000 by the black person? And the person's answer was, the $10,000 from the white man. See how brainwashed the program is? And when you're talking about you wouldn't want this, this poisoning from the air, like these chemicals being dropped all over the planet. But at the same time, even if they change the agenda to give these children rights to make a decision that they can never reverse it now, and then years later in life they'll realize that, why did I do that? I don't want this anymore. Now it's irreversible. And also the fact that do you think that this poisoning of our land and all these bad things they're doing is going to stop? Even if they made the agenda that, now it's widely accepted, people can do it, whatever age or whatever the issue that they're pretending to give the rights. But do you think they're still going to stop poisoning our food? Because the real agenda food is in Africa.
The agenda is population control. Once they have control over the population, who knows? I do know they're probably not going to let off on us until they get their 500 million people. So, I don't know. We'll see. But again, it's all about the culling. They gotta put traps out there for people to die in, or to stop people from reproducing. They gotta put those traps out there.
So wasn't the vaccine a sterilizing tool they used that now all these people will never be able to
have children? The vaccine is a gene control tool. They're going to control the genes. So if sterilization...
You told me it's a mutagen.
Sterilization, yes. The sterilization is possible. Lowering IQ is possible. Lowering lifespans is possible. Through these vaccines,
sorry, I'm still talking to you, but I just don't want to also mention to you before I go is that I still see, and I know I've mentioned it to you before, but I still see these brothers and sisters, they're wearing the mask, and then I wanted to go up to them, but I don't, because some people warned me, don't do it, and I want to tell them, you're protecting me, thank you so much, right? But why are you not wearing gloves and think you're going to touch things and then make the unvaccinated people get infected because you're touching it openly because you're not wearing gloves, but you're wearing a diaper on your face? And what are you doing?
If it's such a biohazard, how come people take off the mask and just do whatever with it? There are no dumpsters for biohazard containment to drop off old masks in. So exactly. You're touching this mask and then just throwing it away into your garbage?
They made it a joke thing. Like, it's whatever, bro. But honestly, I just want to call and say what up to you because I have so much respect for you, man. I just want
Thank
to bring
you
those
very
topics
much.
Up to you. No, for sure. You're like one of the best speakers, I told you, on RBN. Regardless of what your views are on certain topics or anything, I don't really judge anyone. But I just know, like, for myself that there's certain things I can't be down with, and that's just, I'll give you the example I told you before. If I went and did heroin, was that my choice?
Well, yeah.
If I went and did that, it was my choice, right? But do I know what was in that heroin? Fentanyl, all these evil things that they can put in this, I don't know. So now if you're going to inject me with something that's supposed to stop me from getting a virus or make me less susceptible in the hospitals, like this lies they've pushed, then I need to know what you're putting in my body. It's only fair. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not... They've already disclosed
right now.
A lot. Well, they've already disclosed a lot of information, but it's a lot of information to wade through. And even if you do spot the information that you need, it doesn't matter because they have immunity. This was really a trial, okay? This was really a trial. There are, and what I thought originally, Pure Bloods, because there's so many people on Gab called Pure Bloods, they put Pure Blood in their names. Some of them are white supremacists, but some of them just mean that they haven't been vaccinated yet. I learned that yesterday. But us Pure Bloods, I think it's a test because of to see how our compliance is, how many people they can kill off. The effects, because it's got to be a soft tap, because they did it any harder, they could potentially kill everybody on the planet. So next time they do something like this, they're going to tap it a little softer. I mean, a little harder, rather. And then
you're
a little harder after that. I'm talking about, creating a virus and then the vaccine to go along with it. They have to kill a certain amount of people. And again, messing with viruses is a dangerous game because it could mutate into something that kills us all. So that's why it's such a soft tap. Next time it's going to be a harder tap, and then harder once they get the science down, the sociological science down, and how they can decrease the population and get away with it politically. We've already accepted the fact that we can't sue these people. They put that out there, so they've created a contained experiment by doing so.
Yeah,
and they're going to do it again.
What about Fauci now?
I don't know anything.
Over, they're going to destroy this guy.
Fauci has always been scapegoat. I don't know what's going to happen with Fauci. It really doesn't matter at this point. He's disappeared, as far as I know. So,
so conveniently, right?
Yeah, remember when Hunter Biden disappeared too? The FBI can find him. Convenient, right? Yeah. So that's just what it is.
You can never see the laptop, right? That's never going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to skip break, but thank you, Ali. I've got to get to the rest of the callers before they get mad at me.
I get it. Thank you for taking your time to speak about these subjects. I have so much respect, bro. Take care. Have a good night, man. Peace out, bro.
Thank you.
If you ever play that Gravediggers track, if you ever, I don't have to play now. I'm just saying whenever.
All right. Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah,
all right.
Diary of a Madman. Okay, peace.
All right, thank you. Let's go with Bob, Colorado, line 5.
Hey there, brother. I'll tell you what an awesome show. I talked to you a couple of times in the past. And
thank you.
Sometimes
okay.
It's hard trying to get a hold of you. But there is a book, and if this does not expose the one world order or globalist or whatever you want to call it, and this show was on RBN, and the book is by Reed T. Sainsbury, and it's called Exposing the Lies of History, Programming 101. And I'm going to tell you what, right now, and I don't want to start bashing anybody, but when this slave trade came over, this all started, and the book even talks about every ship that was owned by the Jews, because
yes.
the gold and the silver started going dry in Africa, so they started selling the Africans out of Africa over here, and all the ships were owned by the Jews. And
I've seen the ledgers. The ledgers, the, you know, Levi, Rosenberg, Silverstein. You can see the ledgers.
Exactly.
Yes.
And they said they were getting $34,000 to bring slaves over here. In today's money, it's $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But this book is incredible, and my niece is half black, and I'll tell you what, I'm 71 years old, I've never had a problem with a black, I've never had a problem with a Jewish guy, I've never had a problem with Chinese, whatever. And I've come across a lot of people in 25 years of being a cop, and with what's going on now, our government is trying to now push our white race against the black race, because if we can get that going, then it gets the government pulling their hands back, saying, let's just let them go at it, and then we'll bring in the blue hats, and they'll clean up the mess. And if we don't wake up, blacks, whites, Hispanics, whatever, if we don't wake up, we are going to be taken over. So anyway, I just had to call, man. I love the show. And
thank you.
I'll tell you what, it's an awesome show, but Exposing the Lies of History, Deprogramming 101, and you talk about the history, and it all has the notes and the history behind it. So God bless. And
wait, you say you're an ex-cop, 25 years?
Yeah.
I would love to interview you one day.
Outside of Philadelphia, yeah.
I would love to interview you one day. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I have no problem. You want me to leave my number with the board?
Please. Mike, take down Bob's information. It's going to be very important that we get the point of view of our law enforcement officers, because those who are currently in the force, they officially can't say anything at any official capacity. You've always got a police chief doing press conference, and there's so much stuff happening. We need further insight, for sure. Any interview that anybody can get with the next cop is so valuable. So I definitely want to talk to you eventually.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, please leave your information.
Do you want my email? Do you want my phone number? What do you want?
Yeah, if you can leave your phone number with Saad Mike here, that would be excellent.
Yeah, I sent you a couple messages on TLB Talk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hadn't been online on my own for a while.
Yes. Anyway, I'll leave the phone number with the board.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate you. Thank you for your call.
Okay, brother. You there, Mike?
And we're going to switch over to Paul in New Jersey.
How you doing?
Hello, sir. How you doing?
You're Mr. V, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I heard you live in Poland?
Yes.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Now, you're a black guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you go around complaining about white supremacy, but you're voting with your feet because you live in Europe among European people.
Well, first off, I don't complain. I point out that the other people are complaining, and the complaints are totally invalid. But continue.
But so in a sense, you're ultimately a white supremacist yourself. Even though you decry white supremacy, you avoid blacks yourself. You live a life. Yeah, you do. Because you're in Poland, right?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, that's what I'm saying is what you're saying about white supremacy is, yeah, other people, all this. But look at yourself. You avoid black people. But when you do it, it's okay. But if a white person wants to avoid
black people,
that's bad. What?
How can I avoid black people? My family's black. How can I avoid black people?
I understand. But if you really wanted to embrace your race, you would live among your race.
That's absolutely wrong. If I'm an ambassador for my race.
But now, do you have a white girlfriend over there in Poland?
Oh, white girls love me. Yes.
So you denounce white supremacy, but you only go after white women and live in
Europe. I don't go after anybody.
You don't go to Africa.
Listen.
So why didn't you go to Africa?
I've had white girlfriends, I've had Mexican girlfriends, I've had black girlfriends. I don't think in a small box. I'm not put in a box just because of who is sitting in my lap.
So why do you avoid black people then?
Well, who says I avoid them?
Because you're living in Europe. You left America and you went to Poland, one of the most white countries in the world.
And I challenge anybody who has a problem with my blackness. I'm an ambassador for my race.
Yeah, but
you don't accuse sending Pelosi to China to talk to Chinese people and tell her she's avoiding her country, do you?
No, but you're living in Europe, and you're probably dating a white woman.
I'm worldwide, baby. I'm worldwide. I go all over the place. I'm worldwide. I go all over the place.
But have you been to Africa? Yep.
What does it have to do with anything?
Embracing your
black. I'm an American. I am an American. I am an American. Listen. I am an American.
I understand, but you don't want to live in America.
I'm dealing with issues that pertain to America.
Oh, but if, from Poland, though, while you avoid America and you avoid black people. Because you want to live among the whitest country in the world, just about them and Russia.
Well, I like it when a white... Listen, my money goes a long way here. I like it when a white person serves me. I like it when a white person has to do what I tell them to do. I like that.
You love being around white people. You really, really do. More than even most white people.
No, it's not about liking or loving. It's about living the best life I can live.
Among white
people? You have such a small understanding. It's not the people around me that make my world. I make the world around me.
You're there for a reason.
I make the world around me.
No,
your understanding is very limited. Drop this person, please. We've got to go on to the next call. Let's go with Richard in Austin.
Hello, man. How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, don't ask, don't tell. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you how you feel about like lately it's come out, you know, that Obama has, you know, I guess the final pieces of the puzzle came out on Alex Jones' show. You know, he did his documentaries over the last few years showing how they would sum everything up by, you know, after the vaccines have killed so many of us and, you know, this ID thing they're going to put on us. In other words, everything that is coming to now, I guess all the hard copies of those documents have come out, and him and Judge Napolitano were talking about it today. So Cynthia McKinney said about 15 years ago that Obama was the most effective evil. And I guess what she meant by that is, since everybody just automatically trusted him because he was half black, half white, he spoke with the Queen's English, he went to all the right schools, you know, he kind of got a pass. And so now I'm thinking, if we'd have destroyed him completely when we had a chance, because it came out he was running around with Bill Ayers, Weather Underground, he was a homosexual and he killed a whole bunch of them to silence them when he started running for higher office. He was basically, you know, a Muslim for all. I don't think he's really even a Muslim, but they say he spoke better Farsi than he spoke English. In other words, all the secrets that he kept, we didn't beat him up enough to expose him enough. And now he's like, I like to think of him as Hussein Bolt. He's taken the baton, you know, from all what the other presidents started, you know, from what you name all the other globalist presidents. And now he's finishing the show for him because we didn't do a good enough job completely exposing him. A lot of us were scared to talk about him. I wasn't. I would talk about him in front of friends, relatives.
So did I.
I was trying to, yeah, so me and you weren't afraid, but the rest of the world was. So now he's closing the show. He's the ultimate Illuminus or whatever you want to call him, bloodline. And I think, I'm sure you probably would agree with this, because we didn't expose this man, and he's still getting away with it. You know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, because as bad as the Democratic Party is doing right now, they are putting Brock back up on the podium because, and it's the perfect thing to do because he has no power, but yet he has all the influence.
Right. It's amazing.
I mean, it is amazing.
The man is he's the ultimate deceiver. I've never, Clinton, all of them guys deceived us. We know they were womanizers, and even Ronald Reagan, I don't know if you remember Sharda Thompson, I should be, she came on Alex Jones' show and said that Reagan was a closet homosexual, and they had proof that he was with dominatrix and all that. Most people think of him as just a good cowboy, basically, who loved America and didn't like the globalists. But he was a deceiver. All of them are deceivers. George W., the father, was a child molester. But Obama, he exceeds them all because everybody thinks he's the perfect father, the perfect politician. So that's just one thing I wanted to say. But the other thing is this global warming thing. You know, there's this guy named Don Esterbrook. He did a presentation in front of some senators where he went through literally every aspect of global warming. He showed all the information that's available. He went to every, we'll just say, wherever you could get it, and got all the empirical data. He showed every stat, we'll just say everything that was available. And every question they asked him, he answered it without any political persuasion, left or right. And he gave them time to present their question. They gave him enough time to answer it. But I never hear anybody else do that. Everybody says, well, yeah, global warming is a hoax, but they never give any details. So if they don't give any details, then the left or the globalists can always say, no, it's not a hoax. You guys are just playing that conspiracy theory game. So all I'm saying is, without getting too long-winded, we need to go more into detail, because Don Esterbrook shows, using charts and graphs, that there is global warming periods throughout the eons, and he shows exactly when they were, like every 45 years. He goes to that little ice age thing. And he even shows how he makes the point to show that global warming starts before CO2 is even released. And they have it backwards. They always make it seem like since we produce so much CO2 with our cars or whatever, our breathing, our farting, that's when global warming starts. And he shows all the charts and graphs going back a million years where it's always been global warming first, and then CO2 follows after that. And then he even talks about the asbestos, the fake claims of acidity of the oceans, and he says a whole lot more. I suggest people go look at him. He's on YouTube, because I don't want to mess up his presentation. So go look at it for yourself. His name is Don Esterbrook. He just died a few years ago. But it's the most thorough, complete examination of global warming.
And what did he die of?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know if they killed him because he already got his information out.
Right,
killing him wouldn't have helped him. And then see, even people like John Coleman, the guy who created the Weather Channel, he goes into how fake global warming is, and he gives all the details, the real science, not anybody's opinion. And then he goes into Roger Revelle, the guy who really created the fake,
The thing about global warming is that there's a real version of it, and then there's the man-made version of it. When we have a pole shift, yeah, there's going to be global warming, and our pole is constantly shifting. But the man-made version, you got to look no further than the ionospheric heaters, like HARP. These things, these installations around the world, they can control the temperature to a degree, the weather warfare. They do create global warming if they want to. So what's going to happen first? Is it going to be the man-made one, or is it going to be the real one? That's really the question in my book.
Well, he didn't get into – see, I understand what you're saying, but he didn't get into that part. He got into exactly – like, he got into, like, he mentioned something about the lag effect, because one of the senators asked him, well, how come I would go to Alaska, and when I was a youngster, I saw this giant, not iceberg, what do you call it, glacier.
And glacier,
he said, when he saw it when he was a youngster, it was this size, but when he went back recently, it was another size. So Don Esterbrook showed him by showing the charts and the graphs, had nothing to do with HARP and nothing like that. He showed that there's something called the lag effect. He said, if CO2, but remember, the planet heats up before CO2. He said, the planet will heat up, and then I'm real distracted with all this traffic.
There's a lot of gases also trapped within the ice, within the glaciers. So that is going to have a reaction after it melts. So that does make sense.
Well, he was saying there's so much ice, it's packed, you know, we're talking immeasurable amounts of ice. He said it takes years for that to start actually melting, even though the planet had already heated up. He said it'd take like 2 or 3 years, depending on the size of the glacier, for it to start actually melting. So he made that point. But he said when it comes to stuff like acidity and what's the other one? You got acid and alkaline. He said the acid will never affect the oceans or the temperature. And he showed all the charts and graphs. He shows a bunch of them. So he showed how, first of all, acidity is always maintained somewhere between 8.2 and 7-point-something. And he said that never changed. He said man could never change that. He said the only thing that could ever possibly change that would be the sun, if it basically exploded. The temperature would have to go up like 100 degrees. So anyway, I don't want to mess up this. But go check him out, Don Esterbrook. And I suggest people start doing a show on what he's talking about, because I've seen a lot of people on YouTube talking about global warming and all that, but I've never heard anybody be so thorough as him. And when it comes to Roger Revelle, he should be a household name, because he's the one that started the whole thing, trying to get more government contracts. And then Al Gore took that and ran with it and turned it into this phenomena. And now he's selling, what do you call those, on the stock market, he's the first billionaire to sell
the
carbon.
Footprints.
What is that?
Yeah.
So people don't know that. You guys need to do more shows on that. I'm not attacking you, of course, but if nobody knows it, then people are going to go to their graves believing the planet is warming up.
Well, there's a lot of hoaxes concerning the global warming, especially like the the coral reefs are dying and stuff like that, which is a total hoax. There's so many smaller things that go into it. But, yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, Don Estabrook. Check him out. Appreciate you, brother. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Thank you for calling in. I think we got time for one more caller. I think we got Mike in Kentucky, line 9. Mike in Kentucky. Over there with the chicken. Oh, is that him? Is that him? Mike, pick up your phone. Mike. Okay. Well, I guess Mike's probably doing something else. Well, I tell you what, this microphone is blazing hot. I love it when you guys call in. Even you people with the ignorant questions, the small-minded questions, you know, I don't take my identity from any one place or who I'm hanging around or how much money I have, what kind of clothes I wear. I make the world around me. I'm not small-minded, okay? I couldn't get Paul to understand that concept, but, you know, when you're of the world, you can't get any bigger than that. So I like to think of myself as the maker of my reality, because I guess what I have? I live in my little ivory tower. I don't worry for anything. Hell, I'm into the royalty over here. And hey, you know, I'm the Fresh Prince of Wroclaw, all right? You got, you know, why would I go to Africa? Why would I? Well, you know what? Again, I'm an ambassador around the world. I represent my black peoples around the world. Why do I got to go and live with other black folks? For what? I know where I came from. Life is about where I'm going. So, I mean, again, you've got small-minded people like Paul that I hope to waken up, that I hope to get to begin to overstand their reality instead of understanding it. I'm not subject to. I make people subject to. I make things subject to. I am the master of my reality. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't have a boss. Property is owned. I don't owe a bank anything. I'm as free as can be, and I'll be where I want to be. I'm the master of my fate. I don't live by anybody's rules or concepts, what they think I should be doing, or who I should be living with. You go to hell with that. Just because you're trapped in the cage doesn't mean I should be trapped in the cage. And see, that's kind of the concept for the whole show. Angry because I'm doing good. I'm living the good life. Just because I have to be around some white people, that's I'm supposed to be what? Feel guilty or disavow somebody? No, I'm bigger than that. Larger than life. And that's what you call a hater. Somebody that does not want that for me. You can feel the anger in the guy's voice. Why aren't you? He might as well have asked me, why aren't you locked up in a prison with the rest of the black people? He might as well have asked that. Because that's what he was getting to. Probably a white supremacist mad because my life is better than his. And I don't subscribe to that. I will never subscribe to that. So, I think that's the caller of the night. Paul from New Jersey. Thank you. You really highlighted everything that I was talking about. And again, I'm going straight left wing with this. I don't want Paul to have any guns. I don't want Paul to have free speech. Because you see, what would he do with it? Attack somebody whom he thinks is a class above and who can dictate, who thinks he can dictate my life. But I'm not having that. So people like Paul, like that, white supremacists, y'all go to hell as far as I'm concerned. Because I'm going to be doing me no matter what. I already had these feds. I already had these NSA fruity anal goblins trying to control my life. Put a psyop after psyop on me. I broke each and every one of them. I don't get molded. I break the mold. I am sovereign. And I'm sovereign everywhere I go. And if there's anybody in this world that's got a problem with that, well, come see about me. I dare you. Come see about me. Approach me. Approach me on it. I'll put a Karelian death worm and let it bore in your brain and mess up your whole world. You don't like what I do? Come see about me. Boss of the boss. Anyways, thank you everybody who called into the show. You are fantastic. I love you guys. You're still here even after my 2-month hiatus. And I really do. I love all you guys. I think we got a chance to do something with this world. We can deal with the ignorant people and try to make this world a better place. And tomorrow night, I'm going to have one of my best friends on the show. He's one of the best comedians I know. So look forward to that tomorrow. We're going to have a fun show. With that said, guys, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So educate yourselves.
Take a red pill.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Say hello to my little friend!
Conan! What is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and you hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good. That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.